Okay, gang. I know you're all anxiously awaiting part two of Battlestar Wars, but I'm bad at scheduling. So instead, we're gonna have a brand new episode with Friend of the Pod, Undetermined Podcast. So I hope you enjoy this. We had the most fun. Stay tuned next week for part two of Battlestar Wars. Okay, bye, thanks.
Hopefully it's working.
Hopefully.
I'm not seeing little squiggies, but they updated, so who the fuck knows?
I see your squiggies.
Yeah, I see your squiggies, too.
I can see your squiggies.
Gross.
Welcome, like everybody, to another episode of Undetermined the Podcast meets Asylum Case Studies with the incredible Tressa Slater joining us tonight.
What?
Thanks for coming on.
Again?
Yeah.
Hooray, maybe, kind of.
Oh, sorry, guys. We've had some requests.
Oh, have actually, you had requests to waste your time with a great movie?
Yes. People enjoyed the last one. If you didn't hear the last one, Tressa has a fantastic podcast everybody needs to check out. Asylum Case Studies, where movies are reviewed from the Asylum Film Company.
Thank you so much. It's more of a recap. I don't like to judge them, even though I do very harshly, but thank you.
It wouldn't be fun if it weren't a little judgy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an asshole. I like it like that.
Yeah. Well, and they set themselves up for it in regards that these are mockbuster films, in case anybody's not familiar, which is just a cash grab for associating themselves with other films and duping people at a Redbox kiosk.
Yes, that's always my favorite reference is the Redbox. That's where they get their money.
Oh, yeah, yep. I can see.
Everybody's seen one of those at a Redbox. And I'm really kind of worried about the people that see them and like, oh, yeah, this must be it.
Oh, shit, I've been waiting for this. Yeah,
I've heard about this movie once from somebody, I think.
Right. I imagine it's like people's nanas who are going to pick up a movie for like, you know, 12-year-old's birthday party. Isn't that the new one of the thing with the boat?
Right. You request a toy and they give you like the worst version.
Right.
Of
it. Yeah.
My favorite example was Puss in Boots, since it's public domain. Anyone can name their movie Puss in Boots. So it's like, oh, seriously? All the kids are angry now.
So this film, Jungle Run 2021, Asylum film, which it's a mockbuster of course, Michael Mouse's, I don't call him Mickey, he's not a friend of mine, his Jungle Cruise film starring The Rock, which was a film based on an amusement park ride, Pirates of the Caribbean or so. So this is a, you know, mockbuster film of a film based on a ride at an amusement park. So,
which, I mean, what a great idea. You know what this ride needs? A full story that makes no sense and nobody gives a shit about.
Goddamn, they got they've had miles out of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they're like, if we can do it once, we can do it a gazillion times. How many rides do we have here?
Yeah, Disney's really good at exploiting shit to the fullest extent.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they get their comeuppance here. it gets thrown right back at them.
This really dragged them down. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're really hurting.
Oh, they're like, God damn, we got to reevaluate things.
Jumping out of windows. And
after this one. Because it was a damn good movie.
It was.
So good.
Outstanding. Tressa, your opinion, you watch way, way many more of these than we have.
I'm just noticing a tie-in. Right, so we're going from like Pirates of the Caribbean. All right, Johnny Depp.
Right,
what's his original claim to fame?
Oh, I totally missed that tie-in. You are totally correct.
21 Jump Street, baby.
21 Jump Street.
Good old Richard Grieco took over his space when he was like, "I'm gonna be famouser." Bye. Grieco did not take the same path.
No.
For some reason. Yeah. I can't imagine what it is, but
he's he's alive for anyone that was curious.
I thought it was Chris Robinson from the Black Crows for a minute. Oh, there
it's totally fair.
He had a little bit of a I was thinking Trent Reznor meets bad Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can see that. It's a close he was spot. Also in a movie I just talked about called The Almighty Thor.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll recognize what that was supposed to be a mockbuster of, but he was Loki and he was like the whole time he was checked out. He was just like, seriously, paycheck's a paycheck. Let's do
right. this. He literally did half of this movie. I'll just spoiler alert. Yeah. Half of his performance in the movie was from his trailer.
he couldn't be arsed to leave the trailer.
Beanie Baby on the oven and everything.
Right.
That was great.
World's greatest dad sticker on the microwave. But we cut ahead.
We did. Yay. Yeah, let's not do that. First question, Tressa, on the sliding scale of, Asylum's ratings. Yeah. What do you give this one out of 10?
Okay. I'm going to say, I have to preface this with, let's say three-headed shark is a 10.
Okay.
And say, oh God, the one that really stuck in my craw lately is a mega shark versus giant octopus. Let's say that's a 1.
Okay.
I'll say this is a solid 5.
Yeah. I would put it in there as a 5.
Probably. I don't know. It was brutal.
It was not great.
It was not great. Just sort of like, picking your favorite turd out of a set.
I really wanted, the one thing that's been really bothering me, and I mentioned this through our chats, is I cannot deal with any more scientists talking bullshit about not real science anymore, because that's the entirety of the movie, and the whole movie is supposed to be about monsters, and we just get to look at scientists the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
So I was happy I got to see some monsters that weren't, oversold to me. So that's why it's at a 5 for me. I will give it respect for that.
Yeah, that's a solid point. Things like, giant spiders and many plants and stuff like this.
Yes.
I just wish we had it more set up from the beginning that it was going to be, involving a fantasy scenario. But we were supposed to buy
that. Told us what it was going to be from the first scene, though. In a way,
Jungle Run. They were in a jungle and they ran a little bit. So I don't know what the problem is with you guys.
Yeah. And they did. I guess they did set the tone when the first animal you see in the film is a parrot that is growling. I think growling or hissing is probably a good way to put it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The parrot comes along later and tries to break a tree branch and kill everybody with it. You have to be careful.
Yeah. Parrots are awful.
They can be. Yeah, that one in particular.
Yeah, for sure.
So Richard Grieco is in Brazil in the Amazon jungle.
That's right.
He's an archaeologist working with a bunch of loggers, which I don't know if that's a thing that happens. It seems like it doesn't, but I don't know anything.
I don't know. Right. Some corporation anyway.
Yeah.
That I'm not quite positive. Maybe it was logging. Maybe it was something else that they were there for. Mm-hmm. The bigwig's daughter comes into play later. I call her Evil Pam from The Office. Because that's what she looks like to me.
Yeah.
She was so wild because she kept talking to the siblings like they were super young and she was super old.
Right.
You look like you're maybe 3 years older than... What are you talking about?
Exactly. I agree.
Anyway, so we get to this situation where somebody has unearthed some sort of sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sculpture. I don't know. It has a glowing stone. I took notes about the legendary creature, the Karupira. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I've been worried like all week about how to fucking pronounce this over and over.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it like 50 different
times. We gotta shortcut it somehow. We'll just call it the sea monster.
Yeah, makes it sound like a cunt monster, but all right.
The sea monster. Well, but then if they tune like that, or people think it's like SEA monster.
Right. I thought that too.
Right. That's true.
It's fun. We'll call it CP.
CP. Okay. There we go.
Okay.
So I had to look up to see if that was a real thing because I'm a stupid white lady, and it is very much a real legend.
Oh, wow.
Are you guys familiar with it at all?
No, I looked it up as well. Yeah.
The name means covered in blisters.
Ew.
It has bright red to orange hair. It resembles a man or a dwarf, and it can create illusions and a high-pitched whistle to drive victims to madness. And also has backwards feet, so when you try and track it, you get confused, which I thought was fun.
Wow, yeah. That is interesting. Yeah. Now, they also referenced it as kind of a... you know, I guess South American version of, you know, the boogeyman. So kids will not roam at night. So kind of a Dandy McCandy character, really.
Yeah. Ooh.
And a fellow ginger, it sounds like.
So a lot in common there.
Interesting.
Didn't look anything like that in the movie, though.
No.
We'll get to him.
All right.
We will.
So that sculpture they bring up, I guess, is... I don't know. Everyone knew what... I don't know what's going on. I don't know why that was in my notes immediately, but...
It's the heart of the jungle, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they say this immediately. However, every single character in this movie forgets. Or is like, wait, what's the heart of the jungle? What happens if we do this?
Yeah. It's this constantly renewing revelation.
Yeah.
It made me angry. Just say it once and remember. Like,
have we not established this? Yeah.
The Amazon. It messes with you. Well, I guess that must be because, that's what I felt like. It's like, why is this confusing me so much? But it was like the shrooms were kicking in for them every 30 minutes.
You know? Yes.
Wait, what?
I'll give you 15. Yeah. It makes a totally crazy whistle noise, as apparently it does, and everyone goes nuts and hates it. And the one guy is in a hole, and bugs cover him, and everyone goes nuts.
Yes.
Cut.
Ants.
Next scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we're on a boat, or we're at a dock.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say Mandy, the Richard Grieco's daughter, and Scott, his son, I thought were actually really fantastic actors. Next to everyone else, they were like, I don't know what I'm doing.
They actually acted
their fucking asses off, and it didn't match anything with this movie. That's why it seemed off, because they were actually doing their jobs. But we also get the introduction of who I like to call German Channing Tatum. I don't remember his name at all because that's all I could think of.
Oh, it's LeBeck.
LeBeck.
Or something like
that. Yeah.
So I was assuming the guy was going to be French. So that threw me off for a while name LeBeck until I caught on that the accent was German. Yeah.
Generic European. It's fine.
There.
Well, he didn't look, I don't know. But there's kind of mystery as to where he's from. And there's like toward the end, a little bit of insinuation that maybe he's a local.
Right. Like he spends a lot of time there, but he hates it. I don't know. He was a weird character.
Yes. He wanted to take their money and immediately get out of there.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. Poor kids going to find their father.
Who is lost in the jungle.
Who is lost.
Yes. And then bitchy ginger Vera, is that her name?
Yeah.
Vera.
She shows up and she's like, that's my company that you guys are whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that brought me to the article that you posted about the job of doing this movie.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out
the casting call. Yeah.
Yes. Who in that casting call, what role was that for? And I really think it's got to be Vera, right? Vera. If nobody else, it's got to be Vera. And a lot of like the totally not indigenous people, the crew, like everyone that's not the siblings or German Channing Tatum, they were totally like cast through that.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd be surprised if they were even paid McNuggets by the end of it.
I did a little digging, and Vera, or Evil Pam, it was actually a YouTube star a long time. Yeah.
Tell me more.
She did like a, it's called Go Girl or something, spelled with a U. And she did lots of like do-it-yourself shit.
Wow. I love that. I love that for Evil Pam.
So she was, she was kind of a big deal. Had like a couple of million subscribers or something crazy like that.
Wow.
I'm going to say that throws my theory out the window because.
No, probably not.
I don't know. Maybe it's just for the local cast that they did that. Just like, like the, you know, tribe that what were their, I don't even remember their names.
The Yanomamis or whatever.
Those, and maybe just like the side, you know, the, you know, basically the red shirts.
The red skirts.
These guys are going to die at some point in the movie.
Right.
They're working for LeBec. They're part of the crew.
Yeah. No, right. they were extras and nothing else.
Oh, yeah. The boat crew. Well, that's interesting, too, how you found that. Connection, Matt, with Wade Hunt Williams and the music video that he did.
Tell me.
Oh, I sent you the video. Remember that really awful music, country music video?
I didn't even realize that's what you were showing me. I thought you were like, hey, look at this terrible song.
No, and that's fucking LeBec.
That's LeBec singing.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Insert song
God
here.
Bless America again.
Again.
It's a country song.
Okay.
It's terrible. Right. And again. I just sent you guys a picture of my old boss and tell me it doesn't look like him.
I'll tell you. But so I was figuring that guy was from, but I looked into him a little bit. He's actually from California, but I figured he was local. Of course, the film is in the Amazon and it is so Florida.
The boat has like the FL
on it. That could have been so taken care of with just like a piece of tape or like you know, anything, but nope, left the Florida license plate on the boat.
I had to look him up because I was like, who is this guy? Like who is this guy? And I love the fact that the first thing that shows up on IMDb is a Christian movie. And I was like, okay, it all makes sense now. Thank you. I don't need any more information.
And I noticed he wrote his own bio, which is funny.
Well, I was kind of hoping that like he would be something good. Like I saw, you know, you do the thing where on Prime, where if you pause it, it'll bring up profiles and shit.
And it was
showing this picture of him standing in front of a microphone. He's like sleeved out. And I'm like, oh, he might be kind of cool. And so I'm like, let's look this guy up. Let's see if I can figure out what his band is. And
you're like, boy, this is disappointing.
God bless America. Again.
Yeah. Obviously, pandemic shot thing and all these people ripping their masks off defiantly to sing.
In the White House.
In the White House. Brave. Oh, yeah. heavy, heavy MAGA.
It was bad.
Now that makes me question a lot about like why he was using a German accent.
Exactly. That was what I was thinking. Like, he's a fucking Aryan.
He's awfully good at that.
He's well practiced.
Maybe even role playing on weekends.
He's got a LARP. He's got a Nazi LARP.
He's got a Nazi LARP. Nazi LARPer. No, I won't judge.
So anyway.
So we're on the boat. Everybody's getting together so they can go explore. And Amanda is there. She's on time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her
but
dad.
Scott is not.
But Scott's the lovable loser.
This my sister Mandy. She's a professor in ancient languages. I work in a mall. What?
And he's gonna be late for they're gonna leave without him, and he tries to throw his bag onto the boat and it falls into the water.
Hey, catch! Whoops.
Dude. Right, no like effort to get the bag, it's just gone as soon as it hits the water.
That's and it. We later find out there are plenty of poles in that boat that could have grabbed that.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely.
Pretty integral to the story, actually.
But also, what does that mean? He works in the mall. Like, is he like security? Is there like, is he like Orange Julius? Is he like Old Navy? Where in the mall do you work, bro?
Could be maintenance. Who knows?
Well, that's true.
Trash crew.
He's going to sell, there's like a pen kiosk.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Waterproof bags. The irony. Fuck.
God damn it. I could have salvaged that.
Jesus. I even had a discount.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. So we find out that cops basically are going to stop looking for their dad and whoever Vera is looking for.
Yep.
In 48 hours.
Right.
So they're in a time crunch here.
Right. The Montego or whatever, whoever's hired their dad, I think, and worked for her dad, for Vera's dad.
Yeah. And yet we still don't know what they're doing.
No. Do we ever learn?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
There's a big scene later where they're like, you know, maybe they were trying to do this, or maybe they're just like, the business partner's right there. Why don't you ask her?
Right. And yes, exactly. Like, there's a part where there's papers all over the ground with her business, like, name on it. And she's like, my company.
Right.
It's all over the ground.
They literally follow a paper trail.
Right. Yeah.
To find everyone.
That pristine white copier paper that they probably literally just pulled out of their printer in Richard Greco's trailer.
We'll be out of here in just a second. We just got to print this shit out. It's fine. It's fine. Yep. Fine.
Type something.
So they automatically dock. Like, they're on the river or whatever for like a second. They dock and they automatically find the camp where everyone was supposed to be, and it's empty. And Scott and Mandy go in separate tents and find their dad's, like, two separate things of their dad's possessions.
I caught that, too.
What's your dad doing in two tents, right, guys?
Who's he fucking?
That's what I'm saying. Mm. Deadass on the down low.
Right? It's lonely in the jungle.
Scott's totally irrational. He's like, hey, they're not here. The camp is empty. Maybe they're working. Let's go to where they work.
Right.
Why would you even something so fucking logical, you asshole?
Right.
Yeah. But he's working too, and they simultaneously don't know where he is.
Right.
Yet they know exactly where to go through this entire jungle.
It's crazy how they go from being lost to knowing exactly where they are all throughout the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, my God. They hear like a monkey. I don't know what those things are called, but I'm calling them monkeys. I know they're not monkeys. And they look up and it's like breaking a branch off a tree. And then when it falls on the ground, it's like three times bigger than it was in the tree. Like, come on. You guys, come on.
Stick up the tree. It's the ground. It's
watch out. You got to watch what you're doing out here. It's a jungle.
There's animals everywhere.
But very important, they find dad's journal and his jacket.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you leave there when you're going to the work zone, you know.
And I got to say, I can't see Richard Grieco wearing that jacket ever, but that's just me. They see in the journal, it says Semciata, something like that. Right. And like both the women are like,
I know what that means.
I, Mandy's a linguist. She knows what it means. But why is Vera concerned? She's not a linguist. She's an idiot. She's just a capitalist. Who cares?
Right.
Anyway. Oh, no. Guess what happens now? Frogs!
Killer frogs. The dart, poison dart frogs,
I think
is what it was.
Oh, but are they?
Well, we have to question that.
Yes.
They sure look
like them.
Right, but they were purple and green. Like I don't.
They had a lot of colors.
They were like gummy frogs. Yeah,
they were like gay pride frogs.
It was gay pride frogs. Like, it was a parade.
Yes, a couple B-roll shots of poison arrow frogs that they threw them. But then when you see a horde of frogs,
right, and they grew tremendously.
Yeah, but here's my question. They're all running away from these poison dart frogs.
Yes, on the attack.
Do they bite? Because I don't think they bite.
No, it's their skin. That's the thing.
Why did he collapse in pain after a frog landed on his pants? He was wearing pants.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to bore you with the science too, but it's part of the biology. It's like, okay, it's a defense mechanism for frogs, not an attack. And even
exactly.
If they had evolved to attack like full-size human, how would they ever eat them?
A giant snake. That's
right. It's real slowly. One little bite.
But, yeah. Right. He was just like immediately ready, like cut the fucker off.
Right. Yeah. Before he even said that, I was like, cut it off. Cut it off.
And you kind of felt like they were I will give Asylum props for that. Mm-hmm. They like made me be wrong in a really predictable movie. Everybody's going to expect us to do this. We're not going to cut it. Like, either that or it was just like, we don't have the budget.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think maybe B.
Not. Yeah, probably B.
We have
the last film we reviewed, we got an amputation. You know,
that arm. They could have just changed it to his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And brought that in.
Probably had that.
But they left that in California, and this was.
It's true. All the way in San Francisco. The arm.
In San Francisco.
So much further.
Machete borrowed it. Fuck. Okay. I'm going to have to do a redraft here. I was thinking
that was tough.
Another silent amputation scene. No joy. No joy.
Yeah, I'm sad about it. But then a magic guy shows up and he's like, hey, I've got this magic stuff that's gonna help you heal because I'm smart and stuff.
Right.
And he's like
Right, this mystical blind dude that just mysteriously shows up. Yeah, he's like, don't go to the damn hospital. I got this.
So many tropes in that character. I was just thank you for helping this magical blind black man.
Right.
And goodbye and safe journeys.
Yeah. And even though LeBeck reinterprets what he says again about destroying the heart of the jungle being the whole reason, it gives them every example of what they're supposed to do from beginning to end. Reminding them of their mission again.
Yes. And reiterating the CP monster.
Right.
Again.
Mm-hmm. And that you have to destroy the heart of the jungle to free their dad.
Again.
Which LeBeck doesn't want anyone to know, but he, translates for him. And then afterwards, when LeBeck gets up, says, never mind, I was wrong. Those were not poisonous frogs. This man is a liar and we shouldn't listen to him or some shit. And everybody buys that. It's like,
okay.
Thanks, smart guy.
That's why you were writhing in pain on the ground. That was the part that killed my daughter the most. And
I know. She gave me the best gift ever for that.
Tell someone about it.
Oh my God. I'm speechless. It's the best gift I've ever received ever. It is a bracelet and it is, it's got letters on it and it spells out non-venomous frogs. I mean, how? It's fucking genius. I love it so fucking much.
It is. we need to start her in Etsy. Well, she loves you. And
I love her. She's so, the best. Yeah. And she also gave me some amazing drawings.
Those tattoo flashes, yeah.
Yes. To which reference this movie? To which reference Rise of the Zombies? Perfection.
Yes. She's a great kid. Great
kid. Yep. Yeah. So, well, Ned came up with it in the, what was it? You are chasing fiction. That was one of the lines that I really liked from the movie. Him just like, you can't go after your dad. It was like constantly like, no, your dad's fucked. Just let's go.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for the money.
I got to say, when they mentioned the heart again, that was like the third time. I didn't count how many times total, but that was just the third. And then we're like not even 10 minutes in.
Right.
And it's not just mentioning it. We got to tell the whole goddamn story right, for the third time.
Destroy the heart.
And then every time they retell the story throughout, they're like, Eureka! Aha!
And Amanda, bless her, that girl, she gets really, I agree that she was one of the better actors I've seen in an asylum flick. Mm-hmm. But damn it, does her mouth get bit, her eyes, you know, it's like, oh my God!
Yeah, yeah.
You know who I thought that was for a hot second, because I'm an idiot, is God damn, let's look up her name real quick. Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's what we said. A budget Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's like, has the same gorgeous features and very similar. Like, I would, if you had told me that was her, I would have been like, that sounds like bullshit, but I believe it.
Right. Yeah. That white hair and, you know, there's some blonde. It's, you know, all right, white, really pale. Yeah. She's a great actress, too. I love Anna Taylor-Joy. But
so now we get introduced to the Yanomami?
Yanomami, I think it was.
The Y tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful. And I also had to look that up to see if this was a super racist movie or just a little bit racist. And it's real. It's a real tribe or many tribes that translate, the word translates to human beings. There's a population of 35,000 indigenous people with that name, and there's 200 to 250 villages in the Amazon that go by that. So there you go.
That's interesting.
Do they also like look like they live in Burbank? Like
old Italian men?
Yeah, no. With red skirts.
No.
No?
No. Sorry. I mean, the costuming was actually kind of authentic for what I saw, which was surprising to me. Yeah.
Even like the toothpicks in their faces.
Yeah, that was the most authentic part. But there were no old white Italian men in the pictures that I saw with the toothpicks. So I don't know if that was part of this movie or not.
Probably.
Anyway.
Because I didn't know what to do with that. I was like, those are fucking toothpicks.
Can we talk about...
It's not literally toothpicks that they use, but they do have
clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they use toothpicks in the movie. I don't.
No. In the movie. In real life. Not so much.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry, we can agree
on that.
But before they meet the Yanomami, can we address this treacherous looking bridge that they're getting looks like it was built by a lone
shut your mouth.
We don't get to that for a long
time. That's like the end, bro.
Okay. All right.
We got a long ways to go. We've got a journey.
It kept starting over in itself so many times.
I know.
We got lost. Go ahead.
Now, so here we decide we're going to press forward.
Yes.
To find the dad, but we need to kind of recalibrate. So we're going to get back on the river.
Yeah.
I think for some reason.
They're going to go to Semsia.
Right. They're going to get back on the river to go there. And it does not go well.
No.
On the river.
What?
First, you got to look for pirates. And that's.
Pirates. Look out for pirates that we never. Well, we'll just.
River pirates. Yes.
Not talk about that. I did find it interesting that, like, we're supposed to be, like, deep, deep in the jungle. Mm-hmm. And you can see, like, hotels and shit.
While we're on the boat. Suburb over there? It's like,
oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
I'm not going to watch it again to catch it, but I like that you saw it.
Yeah, they literally would have had to crop, like, what? Like, 2 inches off that side? But there's, like, a resort.
Love that.
Just, like, yeah. cut, print.
Whatever, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We don't need to overlay that with anything. It's fine. It's fine.
And at that point, it doesn't even look like they're in the river, right? They are just like out in open water.
Yeah, no, they're like in somebody's like backyard in Florida.
Yeah, big pond or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely more Everglady than it is Amazon. For sure.
Vera walks in on the crew and they're drinking beers and she's like, oh, you guys drink on the job? Oh, I hate you guys because you're not me, whatever. Whatever capitalists say, I wasn't listening. That's fine. And they're like, why don't you have a drink with us, you stupid lady? Pardon my language. And whatever. That's fine.
Now, to their credit, I looked this up. They were actually drinking Brazilian beer.
Oh. Nice touch.
Leopoldina, I think is how it's pronounced. It's a Pilsner. I looked that shit up.
You know, I got to say, for all the bullshit in this movie, there are some like tiny details where I'm like, oh, you actually did 5 seconds of research on that. That's not bad.
They probably had like a Brazilian on the crew.
Ah, there you go.
Or just somebody, you know, after filming all day, it was the liquor store. It was like, hey, man, this beer's from Brazil. I got a prop. We can write this off. Yeah, we can. Get a bad case of that shit. We'll put it in the budget. Sweet. Yeah, that's probably more how that went.
Yeah, probably.
But yes.
They're going through journals, and Mandy finds two words. Lipschi, I believe, and Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, these words are super important, even though they only mean sun and fucking water.
Right.
Like, they are indigenous. They're not idiots. Sun and water, that's all you got?
That breaks everything. That's like the biggest...
I know, and that's insane. That's stupid, and I hate it.
Yeah,
it's like the Rosetta Stone,
right? And every just time I heard Maybay, I just that Oasis song just kept popping up in my head.
It's like, I
don't know. That's when she was saying those words. But that's when her eyes got the biggest.
Yes.
When she was repeating those words, like it was like brand new to her every time.
The words, water, of course.
Wait, you guys got to shut up because I really want to get into depth in that scene, but we have to continue with the story.
All right.
Well, there will be more opportunities to discuss this. Sure.
Okay.
They're all in the cabin of the boat and Vera's wasted and Scott comes in and he's like, they're talking about company shit. I don't care. But Scott's like, my dad wouldn't steal anything. He's an archaeologist. And one of the crew guys is like, isn't that what an archaeologist does? Oh, shit! Yeah.
What was that?
Called out!
Right. But he says it like in Portuguese. So the
Right. Mm. But so I can like read, so it's fine. Joke.
Right. we're not given the impression that Scott is totally a reader either.
No.
I guess he did look at the journal. So
that's true.
He did.
And this is the first time Vera says something weird where she's like, for what it's worth, I think you two are good kids. How old are you supposed to be? You don't look any older than those guys. And that's when I realized that's the role I want to play when I do an asylum movie. I want to play this super old lady that's vaguely not.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
And
right.
Cynical.
Yes, and an asshole. That's me.
So this is the scene where I think my favorite line in the movie comes up. I don't know if I should save it.
Yeah, no, say it, and we'll reiterate.
Okay, so they start talking about, like, the legends and the Curupira, the sea monster. Mm-hmm. And LeBec had, like, my favorite quote or line in the movie. He was like, the Curupira will enter your mind and confuse you. It will scream 1,000 screams and make your brain melt.
Anyway, who wants lunch?
Like, don't even fuck with this. again.
Yes, this thing that I don't want anybody to know anything about.
Scream a thousand screams and make your brain melt.
I totally miss that, and I'm so sad that I did. That's a gorgeous line.
It is. It's beauty.
Right. It had to be, like, I was thinking I would find, like, a quick line, but I'm like, no, you got to have the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes. Classic. Classic LeBoc. What's his name?
LeBec.
Classic Channing Tatum. And now we get piranhas.
Piranhas.
Yay.
Well, and we talk about how the emerald has powers again. By the way, it's an emerald stone that's in the statue.
It was a great heart of that.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
No, it's emerald-like.
Okay.
It's green.
It's green.
That's good enough.
Green, translucent, glowing.
So we get another lesson on what the heart does. Cool, 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 cool.
Right.
So now we get piranhas. Yay, piranhas. Right.
Did we hit a caiman? The boat's stopping.
Yes.
Yes.
This whole piranha thing was so confusing because A, that's not how piranhas work.
No.
B, piranhas are not that big. C, what is all that weird ass jelly on the propeller?
Right.
And D, how did he get it off of the boat?
I had the same questions.
Yeah.
He was just like, just hold on to my waist and I'll unscrew this propeller. Right. What? That's
Right. Did you catch Evil Pam hiding? Like, she, like, ducks down. I like, where they're like, watch out for the piranha, and she, like, ducks.
Duck.
I'm like, how is that? They're not airborne, are they?
Or are they?
They might be.
Well, they kind of are, because now Tease is dead, who's the crew member.
Yeah.
Right.
They jumped out of the water while he was trying to put the propeller back on.
And it only, like, took six to pull him in. Like, and he had people holding on to him.
Right. But, I mean, even if they pulled him back on the boat, he would just be bones, because that's how piranhas were.
Right.
Like cartoons.
Yeah, it wasn't even a piranha attack. It was like a piranha clog that they were kind of dealing with.
But seriously, what was that shit on the propeller? That was disgusting.
It looked, jelly or something. But what was funny to me is, like, it was as disgusting going back on the back of the boat as it was coming off. And whatever it was on there, it looked like if you just spun the propeller a couple of times, that shit would just fall off.
It's just going to clean itself.
Absolutely. They didn't need to take it off at all. Just let it run. It's fine. It's in water. It'll clean itself.
Yes.
Right, like you're going to clean it better.
You just wiped it, dude. What?
So, the piranha attack then ensues. They pissed him off.
And they look like trout. Like, piranha are actually, like, really kind of small fish. They're, like, kind of compact and round.
They're kind of tiny. They're like little sunfish.
Like bluegill or something.
Right. No.
Not these.
Like, watching this, I'm wondering if this is the same universe as Mega Piranha, a movie I also did recently.
Oh, let's see.
Which is terrible. But had giant piranha that were as big as a shoe or a hotel, depending on what shot it was.
Nice.
Yeah. Same physical. It still ate everything, including steel boats, which is what happens now.
Right.
Right. Right. LeBec pulls out the shotgun.
Good luck, dude.
Got this.
That's gonna help.
The part where they get the poles that could have gotten that bag. Right. And they are like, we'll push the boat to shore. Those poles were not long enough to get to the bottom of the boat. There's no way those poles were long enough to reach the ground of the water. You guys. And they're just like, they're paddling like they're fucking oars. You guys. Come on.
Go. We just got to get to the side. So they get to the side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we can't walk there. We can't walk to Sebsieta. I think that's what it's called. It's too dangerous. Well,
right.
what else are you going to fucking do? You don't have a boat.
Right. They kept like debating, like, should we do this? And like, what other fucking choice do you have?
Yeah. That's probably the closest place. Like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Just fucking go.
There was another line here that this was maybe my second favorite line. I'm going to throw it out. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Because I think it's my first.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to use that? Okay.
About the promise in general?
No, you know what? I think you told me your first. This is different.
Okay.
Do these fish typically eat boats?
They do now.
Like now? What do you mean now? Like as of today?
Yeah. Currently in our situation, that's it though.
Yeah. They do now. Like they didn't yesterday. But yeah. Today's a boat eating day for these piranhas. So you learn something every time you go to the Amazon.
It's true.
Yeah.
And since we're in the Amazon, we get another quote from Vera, who says, in my day, I would have loved to roam the Amazon. What's your day, Vera? What day is that, Vera? What generation are you? Are you a Dracula? What's going on here?
Right. She looks 30. Right. Exactly.
When I was a young whippersnapper.
Kids these days. Right. But she's also like, she had like a quip about, have we found it? Oh, I can't find a cell phone signal or whatever.
I found something. It was in the tent.
Is it a signal?
I hope it's a cell tower. Yes, Vera, it's a cell tower.
Yeah. You're a smart lady.
Yeah. She's constantly looking for a signal. Like, well, you know, maybe that was a thing. She just wanted an Uber, like, all
the time.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah.
Also wearing, like, too much of a heel on her boot to be going through the Amazon, but that's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Her drapey cardigan. Like, her whole thing was, I'm too rich for this shit. But all of my clothes are bought at Ross Dress for Less. And I was not having it.
Right.
And how do you think she got to be rich?
Oh! Ooh. You just blew my mind, man. I don't know why, but they start bringing up the words that mean sun and water again.
Again.
And she's like, what does it mean? What does it mean? Is it a sacrifice thing? And Channing Tatum's like, it's just a prayer. Just stop talking about it. It's just a prayer. Yeah, that's a prayer. When I say water and sun, I'm saying a prayer.
Yes.
Shut up, all of you.
Yeah, and the big speculations that they go into about where the, you know, has everybody gone again? They go through this.
Right.
Just as they find another place that's abandoned by people with brand new wheelbarrows and
right. That's how you know it's a
right.
Right.
Place because they have wheelbarrows.
Price and then we cut to Richard Brico in the camper inexplicably. We don't know. This is the first of him being in the camper in the movie. Right. But he goes from like being in the jungle with his crew to everyone being gone. Right. And he is in his trailer
talking to the sculpture. Talking
to the statue or whatever.
Seemingly and creepy on ayahuasca or something.
For sure.
Because he cannot.
He is on something.
Because he can't figure out what's going on.
Right.
He hasn't left that damn trailer yet. He just keeps repeating.
This was some fine method acting.
Perfect. Oh my God. he was actually on ayahuasca. So exactly. I don't know if you guys knew that. He was like, 4 days of hallucinations. You know they're hallucinations. That's cool. Just chill out. Have some orange juice. It's fine.
Your tummy's going to get a little upset. You're going to be
okay. This is 100% off topic, but I can't help but share this
because
it's a really nice night. And I'm like, I'm going to go sit out on the balcony and do this. And I swear, I've been watching like these two slugs fucking next to me.
Well, how can you tell the difference between that and this movie? It sounds so similar.
Whatever will happen next.
So I just needed to share that.
Thank you.
Those slugs are like, hey, dude, did you know that if you break the jungle heart thing, it'll incapacitate that CP monster?
What?
Anyway, I'm going to get back to this.
Okay.
Right.
I was speaking as a slug. Anyway. Oh.
I'm going to send you pictures. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, good, good, good. This is where Mandy's finding all these very clean pieces of paper on the ground. So silly. And when Vera's like, my company, like, what? How do these papers affect your company in any way?
Right.
You're not going to get fined. It's fine. It's just papers. Your company is not dissolving because there are papers on the ground.
No, there's just somebody who's not there right now. Yeah.
Right. And now there's caimans. Oh my God, you guys are everywhere.
Grazing or something.
They couldn't be slower.
No. Yeah, not in the water. They're just walking around.
Right. One grabs Scott's bag and he's like, I love this bag. It's my favorite bag. I'm not going to let go.
Yeah. There's only one at that point then.
Right. This is also where Scott starts getting the trips. Like, he just cannot stand up.
They all get separated, right? Which made for super fun buddy films action. I loved it. We got Vera and Sark, I think is his name.
Sark,
and then Channing Tatum and Mandy. And then Scott's on his own because he's a doofus.
Right.
And then Channing Tatum and Mandy, they're like, oh, we'll climb up this tree that's like 2 feet off the ground and be safe. Okay, dude, whatever. And she's like, is that a bloody hammock? And he looks at it. He's like, oh, that's a message. It's a hammock, blah, 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 blah. And that's definitely blood. And she's like, blood?
I know. And I'm like, aren't you the one that brought up?
Thank you.
Yeah. Remember the guy's head who just got eaten by piranhas? You know? Yes. Right. You've seen some today.
Do they normally do that?
You've seen some blood today.
They do now.
Yeah.
The hammock's normally bloody.
And I love how that's, the hammock itself is symbolic in some way. It's
right.
Native people have to be like, hey, we got to send a message. Anybody got a hammock? It's a blood.
Where do people get comfortable? We want to fuck that shit up. Right.
And make it gross.
And then they cut to Scott inexplicably in the jungle saying, I'm going to put a jacket on now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put on my dad's jacket.
So cozy. I'm cold. You know, the Amazon jungle is famous for being chilly.
Right. Nothing. First thing I think of.
Mm-hmm. Especially when I'm like running from giant caimans. And...
So Sark and Vera are like walking around and Sark touches the ground and he like brings up some dust and he's like, oh, we got to go that way. And she's like, what? How do you know we got to go that way? And he's like, oh, we got to go downhill. How did picking up dust let you know that you were like, what direction to go? Like, that makes no sense, Sark. Sark, come on.
It's falling a little farther. That's that point.
But this is also a great part where they both hear Scott yelling for help. And she's like, we got to help him. We got to help him. And he's like, no, if you listen, it's just the same thing. He's just saying the same thing identically every single time. Uh-huh. And then they play it and he's saying something completely different. And she's like, I think you're right. Yeah. Dude, just, you guys, that was an easy fix.
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That does sound exactly like Scott.
Because the whole time he's like, help, help. And then he's like explaining how it's identical every time. And he's like, help me, I'm over here. Right. What? No, that's not the same?
Maybe the loop was just bigger than we realized. Mm,
yep. That's what it is.
That was a trope in Predator, too. We just remember the...
It's a mimic trope that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
We get back to Richard Grieco in the RV, and he is talking to himself about the CP monster again.
Again.
And how to free it or whatever with smashing the heart of the jungle again.
Right. Yeah. And this is where he's at his most, I don't know, maybe licked a frog too.
Oh, for sure.
Because he is just like... tripping balls.
He's at his peak there.
In this scene. Just
ooh, next 3 hours.
Yeah. Part of the stone. The heart wants me. Yeah, that's it. It wants. Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you need to be alone? Because I can leave you.
Jaw starts clenching.
It's just like kind of sad and depressing, honestly, watching that. Like, wow, you're really good at being fucked up. This is a very practiced thing.
I think they just gave him like two elements of the script and put him in his trailer and said, okay, just riff on this for like, you know, an hour.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? He was on that set for like, I'm not even going to say a full day. He was in the RV, he was outside, and he was outside again.
Right.
That's not even 8 hours. Mm-hmm.
And then, well, yeah, so he goes through all that, and then this was, like, really stupid, like, he steps outside of the trailer.
For the first time.
He hears his kid. Does he hear his kids at this point? I can't remember.
I think that's a little bit later.
Right, but he steps outside the trailer, and there's, like, this anaconda right there, and he's like, nah, I'm going back inside.
Right. Fuck this. Never mind.
And it's, like about to strike him, and then they just kind of leave it there. I'm going back
inside. They cut. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Next scene, we can't show the actual action. We get to Mandy and CT. I'm just calling him CT because I don't remember his name and I don't want to know it, so shut up.
All right.
And they're at that work site with this shiny new wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. Wheelbarrow? I don't like it. Don't like that word.
Yeah, I don't either.
And CT gets attacked by ants, like in the first scene.
Right.
And I just love that he swears in German. It made my heart full.
It's
he's like, Scheiße, Scheiße, Scheiße.
And that was kind of what like helped me understand, okay, he is German. Or
yes, exactly. You would have no idea otherwise. Okay. Except he kind of vaguely sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is not German.
He's Austrian.
Other parts of the movie.
Right. Austrian.
Yeah.
But and the bullet ants is what they were supposedly also. And they call them bullet ants because when you're bit by one, it feels like you've been shot. Like, it's the most painful bite of any ant on the planet. And I love how he's just kind of, oof, these nasty little things, you know, and brushes his pants off. But the frogs were getting bit by something called a bullet ant.
I didn't know if bullet ants were a real thing they were this movie thing. That is fascinating. Thank you.
There's a cool video on the internet. There's this guy, I can't think of his name, but he goes out and gets bitten and stung by poisonous things on YouTube.
Oh, that guy.
He does a bullet ant episode and it looks extremely painful.
I don't care for it.
Why would you want it? I guess if you get paid,
for the gram.
Yeah, the gram.
For the glory.
Mm-hmm. Here's where CT explains that nobody does human sacrifices anymore. That was just the Incas in the 1500s. Or no, that's what Mandy says. And CT is like, shut the fuck up and look around you. You are in the middle of nothing. Like, none of this has seen any civilization ever. You don't know what's going on. And I was like, you know what? That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Seems kind of racist, but fair. And then we cut to the RV again, and Rick's eating out of a can of food.
Right.
I'm guessing corn. I don't know. It's finger food.
He's eating out of a can. He's got like a microwave and shit behind him.
He's got all the amenities. He's probably got a full pizza in the mini fridge.
Right? But I'm like, I bet you have a spoon and a bowl.
No. RV, you should have a spoon.
And then I was like, you know what? This is kind of like Romancing the Stone if Romancing the Stone was really boring.
Yeah.
And then we see Scott's a doofus. That's all I wrote. I don't know what that meant.
He probably tripped again.
Yeah, probably.
Like he would trip on nothing. They would just be like, oh, he's down. He's down.
You guys, wait for me. And this is where we get that dope-ass bridge that looks like it was in playground in my son's elementary school. Like, what?
Yeah.
How is this a scary bridge?
Right. Yeah. She's like, she won't find it. She's like, that rickety piece of shit. And I'm like, there's steel cables. Right.
All bright.
There's actually chicken wire so no one can fall through the slats on the side.
Yeah.
Right. This was a solid bridge. Sure. And no more than 3 years, I would say.
Oh, right. It looked like it was put up yesterday by the Lowe's department when they, it just came to build it. Oh, yeah. All these, bright, shiny screws are holding everything. Bridge is in perfect shape.
Yeah. Brand new. Totally American. American ingenuity, if you will.
Absolutely.
Right. There are warning signs on it. Be careful.
That bridge was safe as fuck, and I hate that it even tried to imply otherwise. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Could have
and that's when the Yanomami get on the bridge and try and, I don't know, they had spear. You know what? This is when the whole movie goes downhill into a racist mess. Like, I did not feel good about any of the indigenous stuff at all.
No. But, maybe my biggest laugh is coming up. So this is what I thought was hilarious. Like, the indigenous people, they finally are surrendered, scared as shit. Mm-hmm. Of these people, do whatever they say, put your shit down. Mm-hmm. And Scott's like, oh my god, and he's wearing his yellow jacket,
stupid,
and coat. Lebec's like, that's the color of their enemy. Right? And Amanda's just like, way to go, Scott.
Good job, asshole.
Fucking idiot.
Moron. I didn't know. Like, they expect him to know. You know? Like, yeah.
God damn, what an idiot. He didn't know the yellow.
Everybody knows.
How do you not know about yellow, you fucking idiot?
Yanomamis hate yellow.
Everybody knows.
It's like Crips and Bloods. It's like, shit. But yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why you don't wear red around Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
That's right. You just don't. Let's go.
Yeah. And then they throw him in the shittiest cage compared to that bridge.
Like, one swift kick would have taken down that cage. Oh, yeah.
Easily.
If even that. Come on, you guys. Yep. And they're all back together. They're reunited. Yay. Yeah.
Everybody's back together.
You still got the shotgun because it shows up later. So
that's true. I didn't think about that.
Three guys with sticks. Took six of you, and you have a shotgun.
Yeah, where was it? Did he just fully stick it down the leg of his pants?
Is that a shotgun in your pocket, or are you just...
It's a shotgun. Why do you ask?
And it keeps reappearing, and they never, want to use it. It's like they always go for a machete instead or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we get everybody kicking and screaming, being pulled out of the cage, because they're going to... So they're kicking and screaming and getting pulled out. And Mandy's like, why don't you ask them where everybody, my dad is and stuff? Like, just go ask them. And he's like, what? That's crazy. And she's like, whatever. They're going to kill us anyway. Just ask them. He gets their attention in whatever language they speak. And then he asks them in English. Why did he have to ask them?
Exactly.
What the hell was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, bros, what's up with going on? Like, what's what? Why are you not speaking their language? Did they know what he was saying?
And I was confused. Like, are we just supposed to suspend our disbelief? Like, oh, he's really just talking in their language, but for us, they're doing it in English or some weird shit. Yes,
I also thought that, but they didn't do that anywhere else in this movie. So it was the fuck.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, they're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a comp.
Oh, you mean that one guy that was in 21 Jump Street? Yeah, he's in that RV down the street. Yeah.
He is fucked. Oh,
man. We gave him so many mushrooms, you would not believe.
Yeah, he's tripping on DMT over there.
It's hilarious. Go watch him. Put him out.
This enraged these guys, and they're like, well, we're going to have to cut your head off now that you asked us something in English. And they start chanting those two magic words that mean sun and water.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandy says what I think might be my favorite quote. They're saying the words.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. They're saying words.
Very big eyes.
Yeah. And what is this? The sixth or seventh reset of them
coming
to the conclusion that they have to destroy the heart.
Right. We've got to destroy the heart. And then, like, LeBec, they're about to cut his head off. They're
How does he get out of that?
Giant spiders drop out from nowhere.
Yeah.
Like in Harry Potter?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. And that's just fine. Everything else was, like, sort of a thing that could be. But this is our first instance of, like, a... You know, caimans are real, frogs are real, regardless of their behavior. Right.
And they take out all the tribe's people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if I fully understand that. Yeah. Right? Like, they were supposed to be protecting the tribe. The
jungle, right. Or the most, yeah. You'd think they would be cool with the locals.
Right. Instead, they killed the, I mean, yeah. And, but what?
I think they made some kind of reference that almost like, okay, like they were looking for the heart of the jungle too. Mm-hmm. The tribes people were, so their motives weren't good because whoever has the heart of the jungle has great power.
I did not catch that, but that's fair. We go back to the RV and Richard Grieco's like, wait a minute. Could this be the heart of the jungle? Are you fucking kidding me?
Did we not establish this in scene one?
Why are you asking? This was answered. Like, seriously, first 3 minutes. What are you fucking talking? Oh, it's right. He's on drugs.
Yeah. He is high as fuck.
And he's like mumbling to himself. Like, I need my jacket. I need my jacket. And he has his jacket, the same fucking jacket that Scott was just wearing.
Yeah, the spare.
People made. Oh, he's got multiple ugly ass jackets, got
well,
it.
Or, you know, maybe he took, like, they're all, everybody else from the crew is fucking gone. So he might have, there might have been an extra one laying around.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but this didn't look like a crew jacket. This looked like an LL Bean yellow jacket.
Right. Well, and that's, yeah. And how would, like, Scott know? Like, that's dad's
jacket. That's his particular jacket. Yeah.
It's his favorite jacket. He's had it since 1985. Obviously, look at it. It's ugly as hell.
But he has three or four more.
We fucking tried to get him to stop wearing it. He'll never stop wearing that goddamn jacket. Dad,
does not go with his outfit.
You're embarrassing us.
Doesn't matter.
It's like leather bracelet. Socks and socks.
Exactly. Now we cut back to all the dummies hanging out in some, like, clearing, just like, oh, I can't believe we got away from that.
Phew. That was a close one.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed, like, all through the movie, like, once they're past whatever, like, imminent danger they're in, they're like, it's chill.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about. Fine. Right? At one point, like, after the spider scene, like, the spiders have, like, taken out all the tribes people. They're just kind of chilling, sitting around.
Yeah.
This is what's happening,
like,
right,
nothing
now.
To worry, nothing to look out for now. Nobody needs to be on guard. We're all good.
And you know what else they, like, realize in this scene where they're chilling out? That if you break the heart of the jungle, you will incapacitate the CP monster. I don't know if you guys have heard this before. So what I'm telling you is that if you break this stone, it will incapacitate the monster.
Of course.
Wow.
Do you need me to say this again? Because I know it's hard to, like,
it all makes sense.
A lot of information to get in one sitting 20 times. So if you need me to reiterate, I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. I think really they just kept throwing that in for the people who come in and say, what the fuck is going on?
For the people that, like, just kind of push fast forward.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do the whole movie. We're going to do the short version.
Right.
They're watching it too.
They're going to see how it starts and how it ends. And you really, be fair, you're not going to miss a lot doing that.
No.
I'll be skipping through all that dialogue that sounds like a softcore Skinemax flick with no nudity, you know.
Right. Did the goofy brother fall again? Look at that. He did.
Aw, that guy.
Boop, skip.
So Scott wants to go home. I mean, I don't know why. He sounds like he's having fun, but...
Oh, and waterfall. We're looking for a waterfall. Big revelation.
This is Yes, this is the biggest eyes, biggest mouth scene for
Mandy. Oh my God, yes.
Do you guys understand? Sun and water. Did you know that?
This is where she got into dad's shit.
She totally. For sure. Because this quote that I'm about to give you makes no sense, and I hate it. She says, "What is the most basic function of all
life?" Water.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Channing Tatum's like, "Oh, water, obviously." Okay. So I was like, you know what? Water's not a function, so I'm going to Google this. Exactly. Let me tell you what the most basic function of all life. It's one, reproduction. Two, metabolism.
Metabolism.
You know what I'm saying?
Metabolism.
Yeah, that too. Three, response to stimuli. And four, homeostasis,
self-preservation,
and organs working and whatnot. And water's none of those things because water is not a function.
No,
nope. Lady, what are you talking about? It's not. I want to reach and punch her in the function. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
well, she's working that shit out. Yeah. She's doing it like slowly, like. This is super important, people.
This is like Sherlock working out
a clue. If one plus two equaled
five, two. You guys.
You guys. The words. The words.
There should have been way more "you guys" in that whole speech because she was so fucking excited.
And how does she make the jump from water to waterfall?
She's water. Like, water?
We're looking for a fucking waterfall,
y'all. And they're like, oh, helps throat. Obviously, this is what all it is. It's what? No, you guys.
And they go,
I understand. Yeah. You're all on the same page.
And again, impossible. This is where we go from completely lost to I know right where I am. Need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the trope of like, here's something that has nothing to do with anything. I've solved it.
Yes.
And totally nailed it.
So they haul ass to the waterfall. Know exactly where it is.
Yeah. It's 2 kilometers away, but they know exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm. And,
they're there. There immediately.
Get there, nobody wants to go near it.
Get there really fast, but like the first they have to stop to see it from the distance from across the river, which they somehow cross without getting wet. They have no boat. Did you catch like the "let's go back to the boat" reference at one point in there?
Yeah. I did not.
Like when they were like in trouble, they're like, "Go back to the boat." And I'm like, it's not there.
Eaten, like,
because the piranha ate it.
Yeah, these people get covered with so much blood and goo and viscera numerous times throughout the soap and then come out with clean clothes and
oh my God,
fresh hair.
Yes, the hair is what killed me.
Yeah, every time. Mm-hmm. And for many scenes don't even go near the water, so
yeah.
Okay.
The whiteys minus Channing Tatum, they're all in the waterfall and they're like, "Oh my God, that's my dad. I can hear my dad. Let's go to the voice."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the lady's like, "No, that's a bad idea." And Scott's like, "Fuck you. I know what my dad sounds like." And then everyone gets eaten by giant snakes from the head down.
Yeah.
Right.
Quick as shit.
Yeah, it was just like, wait, what just happened? Who, what, yep. Where? Well,
they find the heart, but dad's not there.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I'm
is
like,
there more than one heart? Like, why was that there?
I didn't quite understand that, but yeah. Like, they find the heart, dad's not there, and Lebec's been called to like another cave. They're going to the cave where they hear their dad.
Yeah.
And right. Lebec and the other dude are going to, they're like, "This is art." And Lebec finally decides, he's like, "Fuck it, I'm stealing that.
Yeah, I'm gonna get rich.
It's in this cave. Yeah. I'm gonna go in this cave," and they get in there.
And he has he gets totally mesmerized by a glow, and he's just like, "Ooh,
right,
love it."
The giant spiders did nothing for him, but that green light,
right?
And I thought too at that moment when those snakes started swallowing, I was like, "Wow, they killed half the cast just like that." Right. But then,
that's like impressive.
Yeah, but then of course they all get cut out of the snakes. She Yeah, my.
Can we talk about all the crazy green screen with those?
Oh, things? My God.
She was like, I'm out. She just like makes one slit on a snake and she gives birth to herself. Right.
I got this. And it wasn't even like she wasn't even scared.
No,
she was like, she's like, I got a fucking machete. I'm not afraid of any 100-foot anaconda.
I'll just cut my brother out. Mm-hmm. Don't know how I know exactly where he is in the snake, but I'll just cut my brother out.
And conveniently,
here comes Vera.
Right at the mouth.
All, yes, mm-hmm. We're all covered in viscera and jelly and
snake
goo.
Right. Well, which is oddly a lot like the stuff that was on the propeller.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. Yes, very much so. What was that stuff?
I don't know.
What do you guys think at home? Tell us soon. Yeah. All right, you know anyway. What?
It kind of resembles like a Jello salad.
I thought it
like it's got there Jello were, like, that's got the whipped
cream mixed in.
And chia seeds, because they were spots of shit all over them, too.
I thought it looked a lot, too, like the shit that's all over everybody in Poltergeist when they pull them in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's probably where they got the idea
from. Probably, yeah.
That shit will stop a boat, so, you know, it's powerful.
So they go walk in. They're like, fuck this place, we're out. They walk back out into the jungle, and they're totally clean. Hair perfection, so clean, and they come across Lebek. I wrote it down this time, and he is being restrained by vines. They're like, "Fuck you, dude! Bye!"
Right, and he's dead.
Like he's we just, never like, see him again.
We never see actually what happens to him. He's just dead when they come out of the cave. But next to him,
yeah, is there dead? And he's like. Get out of here. Get out of here. And the kids are like, what is that? Like, they're in a waterfall and they're like, oh my God, that's my dad. And it was not. Mm-hmm. And then it's actually their dad. And they're like, what the fuck is that sound? Jesus Christ. You guys.
Yeah. Yep. They got a visual on him, everything. But.
And he's got the same thing going on. He's covered in vines.
Yes.
He should have stayed in that RV, but that's on him.
Wait, here's this green stone. What is this? What is it for? What do we do with it?
Wait, no. I don't know. What do you mean? It's just a green stone. What are you talking about? What would it have to do with anything? We're just here to get dead. It's fine.
Well, they try to cut the vines with the machete and the vines tighten.
Tighten, yes, that's no good.
Which I don't get that. Like, it's fine. Ooh. How do you know they got tightened? He was just like, he was moaning and being a bitch the whole time.
Yeah.
He didn't get worse.
Didn't act any worse off. They're moving, but they don't seem to be like grabbing him any tighter. He just still seems high and like he's stuck in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was doing it to himself because he was confused.
Okay,
so we're getting really close to the end here.
Yes.
So he's telling them like, "Leave me behind, don't work." And the sea monster is there, right? He's emerged with a flaming head.
Yes, I love me. He makes no sense to me visually, but I still love him.
Yeah.
I think do they just have like one stock monster that they used with Asylum?
No, like seriously, because he looks like a lot of Asylum monsters.
He does. And they all kind of remind me of the Star Wars monster. Why am I going blank on the name?
The Rangor.
Rangor. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
I have no idea how I knew that. I'm not a Star Wars
Rancor,
fan.
Rancor.
Hey, I was close.
Yeah,
you were close.
I'm still gonna pat myself on the back.
Absolutely, you get credit.
Thank you.
It looks like the Rancor. Mm-hmm. They all do.
Yep. And they're like, whatever. Mandy gets the stone and she breaks it. And she's like, wait, I have to break this? Tell me how did this work again? I forget. Like, she finally breaks
and
it.
And Dad's like, you have to break the stone.
Oh, yeah.
Go break the stone. So I
can, and he's released.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's not good enough. So he, like, gets on the ground and he's like...
Has to, yeah, I,
what does he say? He says,
don't
look if up. We do something with the gem shards, then we can tame the beast.
Yeah. Right. Well, right. Like, because that didn't, like, the monster's still there, the sea monster's still there, yeah. And it's looking like it's going to cause some trouble. And they're like, oh my God, how was this
we have possible? To turn these shards into Legos and build a little car. Like, what are you talking about? Make something out of the shards.
And don't look, don't look at it. Yes. The monster, don't look him in the eye.
Yeah, that's where.
Oh, that was right. That's
Indiana
right.
Jones comes in. Mm-hmm. Don't look it in the eye, oh, yeah. Marion.
So they do that. They assemble the thing and to, or put it in a pile of charcoal or something, and then it does something.
They did now, nothing. They just moved these fucking pieces around. Like what?
It got brighter for right,
like something. Like somehow when they it instead of killing it, it was released.
Right.
So they had to like reassemble.
Right. Right. And he was like, let me tell you what this monster was one more time in case you missed the first 20 times I told you about it or anyone else did.
Right.
And then dumbass capitalist Vera is like, I'm going to shoot this thing Vera with a shotgun.
That again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The shotgun and, finally gets used.
Yes. It turns around and he was like, bitch. And a Venus flytrap eats her, a giant one immediately. Yeah,
it just comes out and boom. Beer is gone. Yeah,
those are too hard. It's like,
meh, what are you going to do?
Money out of a plant. You can't. You know.
They did try to stop her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, once.
No,
she got
eaten, don't.
It's like, all right, I already cut you out of a snake today. I am not going to go after this Venus flytrap.
That's on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, for sure. They told her to stop.
Yeah. She didn't listen. Mm-mm. And but she does shoot the CP monster once in the ass.
Yeah.
With the shotgun. And it just, I don't know, gets mad and goes off.
I don't know. The zombie rules, like, you can shoot it anywhere but the head, I guess.
Yeah. Oh,
beautiful, like, head of fire. I really enjoyed the fire on that monster's head.
And then it goes up and climbs a tree like it's looking for somewhere to go. I don't know.
Right, it's kind of just overlooking the land.
Yeah.
Yes. Watching over right. The Amazon.
Kind of like the old Native American looking over the land with a tear in his eye. Yeah. He's just kind of giving that.
Yes. Who turned out to be not right. Native at all.
Yeah. His, right.
Just wants to save the rainforest.
But that he's just there to protect the jungle.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're not, we needed to respect that. I never like understood what the fuck is the heart of the jungle have to do with the, like he, okay. So it was trapped.
Oh,
like, the
heart of the jungle? Let me explain it to you. Yeah. If you break, if you dissolve, if you hurt the heart of the jungle, then the CP monster will be free.
Oh.
I don't know if you okay, so what happened is if you find the heart of the jungle and you break it, it will set the CP monster free and it'll leave you alone.
Oh, okay.
Why so didn't I don't tell know us this I don't, sooner.
I don't okay, so what I meant to say is if you break the heart of the jungle, like that stone, the heart of the jungle, then the CP monster it will be set free.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's
interesting. I don't. No, I mean, I think you get it, right?
I think so. We'll find out in about 10 minutes if I remember.
Right.
Then at this point, the movie just buggers off. That's it.
That's it.
And it was just kind of, yeah. No, real. There was like the moral story, you know.
Wow. Oh, yeah. What's she's that? Like, what do we do now? And Richard Grieco's like, you know what I think? We start learning to respect this land. Shut powerful. Up.
All right.
Lesson learned.
Yes.
Don't don't log in the Amazon, I guess.
Yes. Something.
Right. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Amazon. Wow. do you guys have any favorite lines? And if you've already said them, tell me anyway.
Oh, but yeah.
I got to go back. I already told you.
Yeah.
Mine is, I've already said it. Mine is, they're saying the words.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think it's, they do now for me with the piranhas. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said that your favorite line, John, was the, something specific about the piranhas. The piranhas mean business.
Oh yeah. The piranhas mean business. That was another good one.
These piranhas.
Yeah. Their little suits. Yeah, adorable. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Alternate titles for the film. Yeah. Mine would probably be Shut Up, Scott.
Stupid guy that works at a mall.
Right.
Because I think that line comes in two or three times in the movie. Shut up, Scott.
I think you're right.
That piqued my interest more to rent it, you know.
Shut up, Scott. But. This sounds like a great comedy. I can't wait. I went with a very asylum trope for naming movies where you call it something that's very exciting about the movie and then you don't show it until the end and it's only for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I called it Monster versus Man. Mm-hmm. The end.
Nice. Matt? Chasing waterfalls.
You can't do that. What are you talking about?
You got some TLC playing in the back.
That's what rolls during the credits.
Yeah, that would be like the best end scene.
Yeah,
it's just the video.
Oh, I'm so glad I never have to watch this again.
Did you know that on Prime it has 3.5 stars?
Yes. We were talking about.
I was really kind of impressed.
Before we got
Prime is skewed as hell. Like, I've seen so many asylum movies on Prime that have like 3 to 4 stars. I'm like, oh, this one's not going to be so bad. And then I watch it and I was like, that was wrong. Yes,
but, well, you know, every other view has been like somebody that was involved in the production, probably. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm going to give myself a good grade.
Right.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, that's fair. I don't know if we were rolling or not, but Tress and I were talking about how on Rotten Tomatoes, it has 0 reviews. It doesn't have a tomato meter. It's not even like a rotten or anything. There's an audience score. There are fewer than 50 ratings, so they don't give it an audience score. And then 0 reviews. That's pretty bad if somebody even hated it so much that they don't even want to talk about it ever again.
They just need to get the word out somewhere people can watch it and then review it.
Yeah.
And be really excited about it. And I'm sorry, I'll stop.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that. A tomato meter of nothing and a gray tomato.
I mean, year old, which is not new, but it should have something by now.
Should. Yeah, a year.
Right. It's, what, about a year?
Yeah. Well, would have had time. It would have had.
It was released a year before Jungle Cruise by Disney.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they were trying to. Yeah, I haven't watched that either, so I don't know how near it is.
I'll watch Jungle Cruise before I watch Jungle Run again. Yes. But.
Yeah. That's fair. And that's kind of a hard part I've found in now that we've done two of these. You really do have to watch them twice.
Yeah.
Right.
So much.
I've started watching them on Twitch, like doing a watch party, just so I get through it without stopping and leaving. Mm. And then I'll watch it again to take notes. But
John and I tried to do it on the first one that we did, just kind of watch it at the same. But we were both watching like Tubi or something. But like we had different local commercials that were playing, so it never like he was always like 5 minutes ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know what? There's a website where you can watch Tubi together, like a watch party with your friends.
Oh, we should do that.
We should have done
for the future. Mm.
Good to know. Well, that was
something.
It was fun.
Oh my God, you guys! I'm so sorry.
It's fun catching up with you.
So great to talk to you guys.
Yeah,
that was fun. You had like some new stuff happening since the last time we talked to you.
Oh yeah, I got some new stuff going on. I'm doing a Monday podcast. It streams live on Twitch on Mondays. It's called Late Night Legends.
Nice.
And then it's released on Thursdays as a podcast. I just talked about Mad Men Markham. Do you guys know? Are you familiar at all?
No.
If you're familiar with Art Bell at all, he used to call in and he built a time machine and he disappeared for 2 years. Yeah.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Fascinating, because I didn't know he reappeared, but he did in like 2 years after he disappeared.
Huh.
In our time?
Yeah.
Yes, he's the same age, but it's 2 years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that, and I'm doing a spinoff where I just talk about actual good shows that I want to talk about with my friend Josh. Yeah. I'm just like all over the friggin' place. Check me out on asylumpod.com, you guys.
Do that.
We'll do it.
Do that. You'll enjoy the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We had a great time. Tressa, we'll do it again.
Yes.
I had the most fun. You guys are so much fun to talk about terrible things with.
Oh, thank you. Thank
and for, I guess we should pimp ourselves because this is, you know, your podcast, too.
Yes, please
it's so
do.
Hard to remember to do that.
I know.
But, yeah, we're Undetermined, the podcast. Just John and I talking shit with different people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wide and variety.
Mostly music podcasts, but we talk to all sorts of people. Actors and, yes, people and about cryptids and weird shit, too. And the paranormal sneaks in there sometimes. And
nice.
We connected you with our buddy Aaron, speaking of cryptids and podcasts.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Cool cat.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. Glad to call.
Right.
But everybody, thank you for listening to us. Go check out both of our shows and all of our shows. And
yes, we're both fantastic.
We absolutely. Check them out. We're going to start our own network.
Yes. We should. We should.
We should. We'll talk off air.
All right. Sounds good. All right.
Everybody, have a great week. Thanks for tuning
in. Bye.
Bye.